Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's the 95 BFM Small Top 10. Take it away, Amelia.
Woo! Go, Amelia!
Oh, thanks, everyone. I'm very excited about the Small Top 10. I've been trying to get this guest on since the show began. Very busy, very busy gentleman. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Michael.
Hello.
which assets do you want me to show off? I don't know. Which stuff did you want me to bring to the show?
Well, I mean, you've got a degree that's pertinent to your topic, but perhaps let's put the people out of their misery, so to speak. Hopefully they're not in too much misery, but what are we talking about tonight, right, Michael?
We've got to be careful here, because we're talking about Prime Ministers of New Zealand.
Oh, we're talking about Prime Ministers of New Zealand, but you want to be very clear that they're not the best ones, right?
I'm not endorsing all of the behaviour.
Okay.
Done by all of these.
So, okay,
these prime ministers.
Because I'm gonna have to write this down at some point that says today's topic and then a thing.
Okay.
What, like, novel? Most novel? Notable?
Memorable?
Memorable. Memorable's great. Okay. Memorable. And what makes you qualified to speak on this? Because when I asked you about fluoride causing Brexit earlier, you seemed to suddenly all shy up.
Oh, well, you know, you've got to give me your questions. You've got to email them to me.
Okay, I'm very sorry.
You know, that's what they'd be doing on breakfast.
That is true. sometimes. So, yes, you've got a history degree, Michael.
A politics degree as well.
Oh, shit.
Everything that I say now is reflective of the views of University of Auckland. So.
Actually, please don't. No, it's not. You can't say that's where we are, Michael. You can't say things like that.
All right, I take it back.
I'm more like radical and anti-authoritarian until it means maybe that my radio station is going to get taken away. All right, so let's get right into it. I'm very excited to see who the heck is on this list.
I can do a disclaimer for you.
10.
Okay, we've got Francis Bell.
Okay, I know not who... Yeah. who
well,
who
you that? Shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Okay.
Because he was the Prime Minister for 16 days.
What?
We're gonna get like 1925, but we're gonna brush over him because the reason he's in there is purely because he was the first one to be born in New Zealand.
Oh wait, so there wasn't such a confusion. Like he's excitingly the first New Zealand.
Yeah,
they're not prime minister yet, are they?
Or no, they are at this point. This is 1925.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know anything about.
Okay, well,
my degree is in art history.
Well,
do you want to talk about
the paintings of them? Probably.
Can we talk about the La Trobe scheme later?
Are there any prime ministers in that?
No, I don't believe so. Okay, so he was the first prime minister born in New Zealand in 1920. Okay, what?
No,
sure.
But he was he's also the oldest one. He
and
was
the oldest one,
like 75 or something.
Why was he only in there for such a short amount of time? Like what?
He just wasn't keen. The other guy died. The previous guy died. But you know, we don't want to. I mean, dying in office is a big theme for this.
Okay.
For this countdown, so
how a true prime minister ends their term.
Yeah.
Okay, the only noble exit. Okay. And so he was there for six. That seems slightly okay. It's like how Jeannie Shipley is like the first, like female prime minister, but it was also like kind of a.
Yeah, he probably did less damage than her in that time.
I wish I had like some kind of sting about when things are getting political, but I only have that really long one that says YOLO. All right.
Well, Jeannie Shipley doesn't feature in the top 10.
All right, let's go.
But she's muscled away. All right. All right. So. People such as yourself who did NCA history will remember Julius Vogel.
I do remember Julius Vogel because people kept making jokes about bread and our teacher got very annoyed about it.
Yeah. I thought he was German, but he turns out he's not German.
Oh, where is he from? Isn't he Dutch or something?
You know, he's from England. Oh. He's from England, but he's Jewish, so I guess he's got a kind of German name because ancestors are...
Okay, so, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. Yeah, because he was he our first Jewish?
Yeah, other than John Key, he's the only one.
That's very cool.
But he was actually from like a Jewish upbringing.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
But
oh my God, you're getting so bullied. Like,
you'll bring it, like, that wasn't like in my top.
That wasn't in your notes.
Say, but you know, you're just such a smooth presenter that you're just bringing all this extra information like out of places. Anyway, the reason I wanted to include him was because he wanted, at first, his thing was to have an independent Otago.
What?
He was like an Otago separatist.
I've never heard about this.
Yeah, he thought the North Island was just like not carrying its own weight and they just needed to set them free. Or no, sorry, like, they needed to free the South Island or Otago specifically from the baggage that was the North Island.
So, like, what would independent Otago look like? Is that's not a lot of area. Like, relative to the whole country, is it?
I guess I don't think it's the same borders as, like, I think okay. It was just, like, the bottom half of the South Island.
Wow. So he's, like, a kind of, he's, like, our, like, I didn't realize Otago was our Texas.
Yeah. Well, they were, like, they were a big deal back in the day.
Yeah.
They had all the gold and shit.
I mean, they've still got the Highlanders. Otago!
my
dad's from there. He could have been from a whole different country.
Fuck.
But, like, he ended up doing a railroad thing, right?
Oh, yeah. He went back on that Otago separatism and got involved with nation-building projects later. But that's kind of how everyone was in the 1800s. They were just...
They're all over the show. Yeah,
they didn't really have, like, a spectrum.
Okay. That's... I don't... I don't... I'm sorry. I'm sorry to any Otago separatists out there. The idea is
I'm
just...
I'm not sorry.
It's kind of hilarious to me. Okay. Here we go. Oh, why is that? Come on.
Eight.
Okay, we got Peter Fraser.
Okay.
Who was a big disappointment of this, of my research. I thought he was fine because he came after MJS.
Yeah, Michael Joseph Savage for those.
But instead of, and he had a long history of like union activism. He went to jail for opposing conscription to the First World War.
Wow, okay, that's pretty righteous.
But then when he became Prime Minister, it was World War II and he just got so involved with that. He just went to Europe, toured around.
But I mean, like, maybe he just hated, you know, Nazis. Or was he just really into war?
I don't think he was that bothered about that. He was, no, what he was really into was, like, when they were doing, like, the UN and, like, when all these countries were becoming...
He wanted a big seat at the table.
Yeah, he just wanted to... He thought he was, like, up there at, like, the Yalta conference, like, hanging out with Stalin. And that's what he wanted, I think. And everyone just, like, hated him here because after a while because he wasn't, like, you know, a man of the people.
Oh, he was just, he had, like, glitz and glamour aspirations.
Yeah, champagne socialist.
But, I mean, I would, like, so in the show Peep Show, there's that bit where David Mitchell's character buys figurines of the people at Yalta.
Yeah.
I would Peter kind Fraser. Of like a Peter Fraser figurine. Like, I wouldn't be against that.
They might have just, like... thought he was a waiter or something though.
We got a text about how great Vogel is. Apparently someone highly rates Vogel.
From Otago probably.
Seven.
Okay, so we got George Grey.
Okay.
So he's more known as the governor.
Governor
early
Grey.
On, but
okay.
He made a foray into democracy late on. after that, you know, we started doing voting.
Oh, I have an exciting fact about this
one.
So there's a statue of this dude in Albert Park, and somewhere in Auckland, there's a warehouse filled with plaster heads of the Governor Grey statue. Because of his I don't know why I'm trying to whitewash Governor Grey. Because of his, like, bad relationship with, like, Maori.
A complex relationship.
Okay,
sorry. He was just mates with heaps. Like, heaps of the chiefs he was just, like, good mates with.
Okay, because of his complex relationship, people are constantly smashing the head off that statue. Yeah. And so they used to make, like, rebuild marble heads for it, but it took so long that it was, like, a really effective protest because there would be this big headless sculpture in Albert Park all the time. But now they have plaster heads, and so as soon as you smash the head off, there can be a new one by morning.
Right. That's more interesting than anything else that he's done, probably.
Didn't he do the mansion house on...
He did do the mansion house. I guess he was, like, New Zealand's only, like, true sort of... what's the right word? Like, eccentric, like, posh guy, like, Prime Minister, who, like, went around the world, like... He was, like, the governor of, like, South Africa and, like, Adelaide and...
Yeah.
And then he tried to be a politician in UK...
And he had monkeys, right?
And he had monkeys.
Gotta have a
novelty pet.
Personally, he's not one of my favourites.
No, he's not a favourite, but he's quite different from the others because he tried to be, when he became elected, he just was shit at it. Like, he couldn't...
Apparently him and his wife didn't talk for like 30 years.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well. That, I guess that tells
his
you.
His father never spoke to his mum. They got hundreds of years of parents sitting at giant like dining tables.
Family tradition. Yeah. Well. Poshos. Who needs them? Ah, I'm just thinking about Jacob Rees-Mogg reclining in Parliament now. Is that what Governor Grey was like? Probably.
Yes. I would say yes.
Okay. What awful. Six.
Okay, we got...
Sorry, that gets everyone.
Yeah,
I love it.
Okay. Okay, oh, now we've got another old one. The second ever Prime Minister.
Ooh.
Oh, Premier, actually. Sorry, they were called Premiers back in the day. William Fox, he had four goes.
Oh, what? He's got a great name. So like, old Billy Fox.
Yeah.
He sounds like a Roald Dahl character.
Mm, he really was a silver fox as well.
Oh,
he's just old. I don't know. He's not very hot.
So he's old? He did it lots of times?
No, so we got the first guy in. He lasted... And William Fox outed him after 13 days.
Oh my God.
He lasted himself 13 days.
And what then he was going on?
I don't know what they were up to, but he had four goes, and I think his longest go was like 3 years. And he hated Auckland.
Sick.
He wrote, before he became Premier, he went back to England, wrote a book about the six settlements of New Zealand, and said that Auckland was just shit and like immoral.
Well, I mean, hey.
He's not wrong.
Look.
I mean, immoral.
Oh, we just got a text saying the collective of Otago sneer at the praise of Grey. How many elections did he win?
I think like one. I think
okay, on that note, let's play a song.
Number six.
Your number six this evening is Confessions by Sudan Archives. It's 95 BFM.
Confessions are falling down.
singing. Baby, now that I found you, if you take requests, I got a feel for you. Play that song called Stone Free. Play that one called Strange Brew. Don't forget I'm coming home. No other songs will do. So, Mr. Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
That was Having a Party by the Dave Miller Set, which I chose because I thought it was a funny pun about politics. But Michael, you've informed me that a lot of these people were not affiliated with a party.
Yeah, didn't really get parties until like the 1900s.
Were they swinging with their baby though? That's important.
I think they left the babies at home. It's really a new thing.
Well, I think it was still a nice and lovely song there by New Zealand's own Dave Millicent. And before that, we had the Sudan Archives with Confessions. I don't think I can wait at all, Michael. I think okay. We need to go right into number five.
Okay, number five. Did it again. Okay, we got Rob Muldoon, a classic.
Oh my god. Yeah.
A well-known character. Mostly known for the video of him announcing an election drunk.
Totally sloshed.
Yeah, and then which he then lost.
Also known for being very bad at his job.
Yes. Yeah, I think his main thing was
ruining the economy.
Yeah, ignoring lots of significant changes in the world and trying to deny them for about 10 years until everything was fucked.
How long was he Prime Minister for?
9 years. 3 terms.
That's
the standard.
Too long. Oh my, what were we doing? Like, honestly.
I think we were just very nostalgic.
For the old times
of like 10 years previous.
I just love the idea of this like wasted guy just kind of be like,
you know what, New Zealand, everything's just gonna be fine.
And everyone's like,
yeah. Well, he had his
3 more years.
He had a famous like quote about how his goal was to not leave New Zealand any worse than he found it or something.
And he really did, though. That's very Locke of him. Interesting. I wonder if he actually...
Oh, big scholar, big Locke scholar.
Big Locke scholar. So do you have any hot tidbits about old Muldoon?
He wrote an autobiography like a year after becoming the Prime Minister, which I tried to read after finding it in an op shop in Thames.
I've seen that before. It's just called Muldoon. Is it called Muldoon by Muldoon?
Yes, it is. It's got an excellent cover. It's really, really good. It's like grey and gold metallic.
He really kind of underestimated the longevity of his fame. Like 1 year in, he should have at least waited another, I reckon.
I think he wrote a few.
Oh,
this
really?
Is a second autobiography.
No! Well, what? Why? Who was reading his autobiography before he was Prime Minister?
I don't know, but he was big on, like, not doing trade, so maybe, like, like restricting, like, imports, so maybe this was the only book available.
Fair. I just imagine everything being, like, goodbye pork pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably a little bit, hey.
I haven't seen it, but...
Is the book good?
His book?
Yeah.
It's terrible. I read like 2 pages and it was just... It was like opinion... It was like Bob Jones' opinion piece. Like straight from the first paragraph. And so I just couldn't... I couldn't do it.
It's like... As if you haven't heard enough from me as Prime Minister. Here we go.
But he's still Prime Minister.
He should have been on Talkback Radio.
He might have been. Oh. I don't know. I can't tell you that he wasn't.
Muldoon, the talkback prime minister. Ooh! Apparently Muldoon had syphilis. Unsubstantiated, but I believe it. I buy it.
4.
All right. So we're going back in time a little bit to William... Fuck it. The first name. I've just written W. William Massey, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that's yep. Good.
He seems to be the first one to that I could really identify as right wing or left wing.
Oh.
Like in sort of modern political terms, because he...
And was he right wing or left wing?
Oh, he was very much right wing.
Sure.
He was the first prime minister of the Reform Party, which later became the National Party.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was very anti unions. There was some big strike. So he was 1912 to 1925. So big feature, died in office, like any true prime minister.
Okay, that's kind of really brought down my opinion of dying in office, because I was all for dying in office, and now I'm like, maybe it's not so great. Maybe it's not a guarantee of quality.
It's not only, it's across the spectrum, okay. Dying in office. It's just the office.
Is he who Massey is named after?
Really damp office. I would assume so. Like the suburb Massey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the university Massey. Okay.
And what did he do? He was a union buster or something.
Yeah. And like he was I've got a few notes. He loved censorship. World War One was happening and he got everyone involved with that. He did a lot of censorship.
He loved censorship.
He hated commies.
Okay.
He advocated for a white New Zealand.
Oh, I hate that.
this guy's truly shit.
I kind of was expecting you to be like, he was like really for like liberal economic policy. I forgot about.
The guys before were there.
Yeah, no, I kind of forgot that it was going to be like, no unions, only white people, please.
Mm. White and ununioned. It's the New Zealand idea.
You're just going, yeah. There's no such thing as society, but also you must be white. Well, what a shit dude. How did he get number 4?
Well, because just because he's memorable.
He's memorable.
He was the first one that I could sort of see a modern political sort of right or left sort of... position,
yeah, well, I mean, I definitely see the modern political position. There's some kind of depressing parallels.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay.
A little bit.
3.
Okay. A bit worried about this one. Okay. I went with Helen Clark, but I thought, I was around then. Like, I know about Helen Clark, but so I didn't do any research. Now I'm just like, oh, what do I say?
I mean, I was... So I definitely know who 1 and 2 are by who hasn't been said yet.
Yeah. That's because we talked about this before.
Because we talked about it. Don't reveal
the magic of radio.
And like, so there are a couple that I thought would be on here that aren't. Longy?
What did he even do?
He presided over some horrific economic reforms.
Yeah,
but
I would think of that as being like more asleep at the wheel than... Because I don't think he was personally into it. He just...
I mean, he gave the most famous political speech in New Zealand history.
Oh, yeah, but, like, get over it.
Oxford Union, bullshit. Who needs that?
Oh, yeah, well, got to move on from that nuclear campaign. It's in the past.
I think for a lot of people, that is still their, like, proudest New Zealand thing.
Yeah, but then it turned out, like, we'd never actually severed ties from the US anyway, so... It's all just a bunch of show.
I mean, that's the thing with Longy. It's kind of like, the more you look into it, the more disappointing it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess he got a mention anyway.
Yeah, I guess not honourable mention. Okay, Helen Clark.
Right honourable mention.
What's the... Oh. I like that.
First wordplay of the...
Okay, Helen Clark.
All right.
What's she up to?
What did she do?
She had small hair.
Yep. First elected female prime minister.
Yep, that's really good. Into that.
Yeah.
Did some good stuff. Did some
reverse some
good
of that
stuff.
Nonsense that happened in the 90s, which is good.
Yep. Very good.
Kind of like did a lot of kind of lost the trust of Māori for the Labour Party.
Yep, that's less good.
A thing that's
a lot less
had
good.
A lot of knock-on effects in current politics.
Haven't really regained that.
Kind of keeping
that track record going at the moment.
That's true.
Well,
she's got a legacy then.
Kind of started the ball rolling on drug reform.
Yeah.
Vaguely?
I mean, now I'm just trying to think of stuff I remember from being like 16.
I mainly remember people graffitiing her picture everywhere.
Yeah, she dealt with a lot of sexist stuff.
Lots of misogyny.
She did start talking about climate change and no one was ready for it.
I feel like she
late
was
on.
In some ways ahead of her time and in some ways just was the at that time.
Yeah.
All right, shall we...
Good summing up remarks on Helen Clark.
I'm nothing if not equivocal.
Two.
All right. Got one that you and I are both very familiar with.
Yeah.
Having visited his grave together.
We did. We went on a special trip.
We won't talk about what the trip was about.
Oh, my God. Someone wants to know where on the political spectrum you are and who you voted for in the previous two elections. That's quite personal information. Are you willing to share that?
No, I didn't come here to be interviewed.
You commie. Okay, so...
Okay, so yes. We got King Dick. Real nickname.
I love King
Richard
Dick.
Richard Seddon.
Okay, and so a little bit on his grave. We went there and it's very homoerotic. It's like a bunch of naked men, like, writhing together and reaching their hands towards the sky.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It was pretty hot.
It was pretty hot.
Hotter than that Wellington weather.
Yeah. You love Wellington weather, don't lie. And there's also a big statue of him as well. Like, there's not just his sexy grave.
Is that the one that's in front of the parliament?
Yeah, there's the big, and he is big.
He was the king's biggest King Dick.
He was famously a big, big man,
He was the first
man,
Prime Minister,
right?
Actually, because before that they were premiers.
Okay.
Because which he chose not to join Australia when Australia formed, and he was like, oh, we're our own thing now, we're going to have a Prime Minister.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Was he good? I always forget whether he was good, because I get so entranced by his name.
Someone from, like, the late 1800s.
Yeah.
He tried to, like, start a New Zealand empire in the Pacific, which I don't think was good.
No, that's
he
bad.
He very much failed as well.
Just want to, on the record, imperialism and colonialism, bad.
He failed, though, with Fiji and Samoa.
Good. I'm glad he failed.
He succeeded with the Cook Islands.
Okay, moving on. Like, fuck.
With his imperial ambitions.
I feel bad for saying how much I admire his sexy grave now.
Oh, you're an art historian. You don't want to think about all the people behind the art.
No, I just want to look at it and admire its aesthetic. Oh, he was very anti-woman suffrage.
Oh, yeah, but that was because he loved alcohol. And women's suffrage was tied up with temperance.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. He was very populist and he was a former publican or something. And he just wanted the common man to, like, be able to have a drink, and the women were getting in the way of that.
It doesn't sound like he was pro-women.
Not pro-women. Pro-alcohol. I think the alcohol was probably the thing he cared about.
It was mine. He was like, these women's rights, they're impinging on my alcohol rights.
Yeah, it was the Conservative Party that passed the women's vote thing. Yeah. And he was the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. What a time.
What a roller coaster.
What a
roller coaster of a country.
I'm just really appreciating that we're doing a show right now that we're getting texts that just read things like King Dick was the anti-woman suffrage. I'm just glad. Usually the texts don't say things like that. They say Bunga Tune. How's that?
Well, it's kind of good because I had some notes on my phone just in case I forgot, but my phone's gone somewhere.
Okay.
But now my notes are coming through on the text. So.
Sick. Well, okay. I mean, we're just about up. I mean, it's time for number one. Before that, let's do a quick recap.
Okay.
And then
do
you have anything
to
plug, Michael?
Do I have to do that sound again? No.
No, you've got nothing to plug.
I've got nothing to plug.
People can't, like, buy anything off you.
No, I am purely here for political and historical inquiry. I'm not hawking some music shit.
Okay. I was about to hawk some music shit, and then I was like, that would be incredibly unprofessional. I don't make music. I never have, and I never will.
You're okay. In no way. You have no public conflicts of interest around the BFM top 10.
No. Okay. So, Michael, what was number 10?
Francis Bell.
Number 9.
Julius Vogel.
Number 8.
Peter Fraser.
Number 7.
George Gray.
Number 6.
William Fox.
Number 5.
Robert Muldoon.
Number 4.
William Massey.
Number 3.
Helen Clark.
Number 2.
Richard King Dick Seddon. I just wrote King Dick on the piece of paper, so I forgot his real name.
All right. It's time.
One.
Who's number one? I think a lot of people have already guessed.
No surprises.
It's our man. Who is he?
Michael Joseph Savage.
Oh, he's great.
He's got a great park for drinking in.
He's
It's a bit out of the way, but it's worth it when you get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he's got the Michael Joseph Savage Reserve, which, yep, is beautiful views.
Probably did some other stuff.
Yep, he instigated social housing in New Zealand, right?
Oh, just all of it. Health, like healthcare and like, benefits, I guess. I don't think they called them benefits back then.
Because he was like an Australian union guy who was like, I'm going to go to New Zealand
and
make
it good. He was digging holes. He was playing rugby league.
Yeah.
He stopped being Catholic, but then he got involved with being Catholic again.
That's interesting.
Never married. Died in office.
Possibly gay.
You heard it.
I just, whenever someone from the deep past didn't marry, I'm like,
definitely gay.
Because usually when you look into it, it's just like, it says they never married. And then you read like one of those really intense biographies that has all the footnotes. And it's like, they lived for 30 years with their dear friend, Greg. And you're like, oh, okay.
No, he lived with a couple. Just a couple.
Oh, he's New Zealand's first poly prime minister.
Sorry, yeah, I should have said thruple.
It's thruple. I feel like...
What can you say?
He died in office.
Died in office. The idea of died in office has been ruined by people such as William Massey.
But, I mean, the story of him dying in office is like, he had this terrible stomach issue, right? And that's the thing.
It didn't go into his illnesses, what I was reading.
Okay, so I guess I can tell the story then. I know like 3 facts across this whole thing and I'm very excited about them. So basically, I believe it was health reforms. There was some kind of big important reform and he was going to be needed in parliament for it to pass the vote. His doctor said, don't do that or you will die. You have a serious like stomach disease. And he was like, screw this. And then he went and he passed the vote and then he died like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, well, I think they tried to tell him to quit like 6 months before he died, but he was like, nah, fuck it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he was like, no, I need to make...
I'm doing it for the park.
Yeah, I'm doing it for the park.
I'm going to get that park.
I need to institute major social change within New Zealand.
Yeah.
Honestly, it gives me weird pride. So you've chosen a song, Michael. Would you like to introduce your song?
Well, I just like to... This song, I think, is more a piece of advice, also a piece of encouragement for all of those aspiring prime ministers out there.
Oh, beautiful. And what is it?
Oh, I thought it would introduce itself. Okay, yeah, sorry.
I mean...
it's by Tim Meyer, and it's called Do Your Thing, Behave Yourself.
Oh, wonderful.
Don't be
A satisfying and justified ranking of that thing. The 95 BFM Small Top 10.